Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll have a word of prayer. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we want to give you praise and glory this evening for salvation. Lord, we're thankful for the blessings you bestow upon us, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we're thankful for the unseen things that we don't understand. And dear Heavenly Father, many people, they can be discouraged and upset. I don't understand that, or I don't know what God does with that, or whatever. And dear Heavenly Father, when you decide to reveal those to us, dear Lord, it'll be a blessing. But dear Lord, you protect us and you take care of us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're so thankful for the glory of God, dear Lord, and the power of God and the might of God. And dear Lord, your ways are far above our ways. And dear Heavenly Father, that helps us to recognize how minor we are, dear Heavenly Father, how humble we need to stay, dear Lord, before you. Dear Heavenly Father, the enemy tries to lift us up and make us proud to think we know a few things, dear Heavenly Father. But dear Lord, keep us humble at your feet, dear Lord, and help us to just worship you and serve you and be faithful to you, dear Heavenly Father. We want to make heaven one day. We want to spend eternity with you. Dear Lord, as Brother Danny mentioned, dear Lord, and even though we know about our families, we hate to leave our families, but dear Heavenly Father, the angels, the Bible says that the angels desire to look into the plan of salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, as one song says, our faith, when we make heaven our home, our faith will be lost in sight. But dear Heavenly Father, as we live by faith, and dear Lord, from time to time, you reveal things, you bless us, you encourage us, you allow us to go through some battles, and we see the power and the hand of God moving in our lives. Lord, what a wonderful blessing it is, dear Heavenly Father. So dear Lord, we ask you to help us to be encouraged, help us to be uplifted. Dear Lord, we're living in a world of pity, dear Heavenly Father. But dear Heavenly Father, you keep us, and you bless us, and you encourage us, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for that. We ask you to be with us as we open up the Word of God this evening, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to anoint the Word, anoint me, and I'll bring it you would have us to. Anoint each and every one of the hearts and the ears, dear Lord, that we may gain some power and some ground against the enemy of the soul, dear Heavenly Father. And we'll certainly thank you for that. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, taketh heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Again, I thank God for the simplicity of some of the word and the revelation that he gives to us and understanding and life sometimes as we go through life. But in verse 12, in the first part of verse 13, he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand taketh heed lest he fall. That's basic. And it's a very great warning to any of us. We need to be careful. And as I just prayed, I didn't actually pray because of the verse I was getting ready to read. But we need to be careful that we don't get puffed up. God says we don't need to get puffed up. People get puffed up. They get proud. They get haughty and things. And they fade away. Somehow this is going up. I don't know why. Hold on. But God warns us to let us know not to get lifted up, not to get puffed up, not to get to think we're more than what we should be. And as I just said, if not for the grace and the help of God, we can't make a breath, we can't go across the road, we can't walk down the street, we can't do anything but by the grace of God. So wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, we need to recognize, Lord, I need you in every walk of life. I need you in every part of my life. I need your help. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. How many of you ever used that against the enemy? How many of you how many times has the devil used that against us? What you're going through, no one has gone through before. You're the only one in your family, the only one, your only person, all the way. And I thank God for this verse because I have used that. Sometimes the devil plays with our minds and deals with us, gets us to get a little bit of a pity party. Pray to God, say, Lord, I'm going through something more difficult than anybody else has gone through. And then from time to time, the Lord has to bring this verse of scripture wherein it is encouragement, even right in the battle there. There is not one thing that mankind has gone, or we are going through, that mankind has not gone through. Every single thing. I know as time changes, I know as inventions come, I know that there are always things that the enemy can use. But in that time, in our time, we're not the only one that the devil's tempting. The devil will tempt me, he'll tempt Brother Danny, Brother David, Brother Ken, Brother Bert, every one of us, women, children, men, it doesn't matter. He tempts every single one of us. I want to look at the thought a little bit for with temptation this evening. And the thought is, what is temptation? And the question is temptation sin? Is temptation good or bad? And are there are levels of temptation? And I want to look at those 4 points here this evening. What is temptation? Is temptation sin? Is temptation good or bad? Are there levels of temptation? Paul says here, temptation is common to man. It's common. And it amazes me, as I've often mentioned, maybe when you're a teenager, you look at young people. Of course, I've got grandchildren, things and all, and even my son and his wife, and they're just different avenues of their points in life. The children and young teenagers and things, and I can remember, as I said a little bit about remembering graduation and things and the life, and I look at young people today, young teenagers and things, and they don't care about anything. They don't care about the government. They don't care about mortgages. They don't care about car payments. They don't care nothing. They're just enjoying today, and that's it. As we get older and things, life changes, temptation changes. Those things that tempted me when I was back here in my teenage years or early 20s don't tempt me today. And those things that tempt me today didn't tempt me back those times. But Paul says temptation is common to man. Back in even in Jesus' time, they dealt with that. They dealt with division. They dealt with hatred. They dealt with conflict. And when we think about it, I hate those things when we look at them out there in the world and even among the churches with division and conflict. There are divisions and conflict among family, among brethren, among the church, among workplaces. There are all those things, and that is the work of the enemy of the soul. There was division and conflict back during the time of Jesus. It was common back then. If some, and the enemy, he uses certain tools and that have worked well for the last 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years, and he still uses them today, and they still work well. There was a time back during Jesus' time, there was a battle with things. They wanted to know who's the greatest of us all. Of all of us, who's the greatest? Who's able to have the privilege to sit on the right and left-hand side of Jesus Christ? It's amazing that people have a desire for power, a desire for those things in life. They happen then, they happen today. Paul says temptation is common. The devil will tempt you and I sometimes even on this alone. He'll tempt you. And as I've already related to that a little bit, that you're the only one going through that. You're the only one going through this battle. That's what the devil deals with. What is temptation? Temptation in and of itself is not sin. And the devil battles with that. I can remember, there again, some of the things that I can remember as a young person. You know, sometimes in the earlier years there, it was taught and it was preached. If you were tempted, you sinned. You're supposed to get saved, sanctified, and live above the temptation. And let me tell you what, that's a lie that the enemy has drawn up and allowed to destroy people's souls. I get saved, I get sanctified, I get tried, walking with God, temptation comes in, I get discouraged. Well, the preacher said that if you're even tempted, you sin, I fail. Go to the altar, I fail. Go to the altar. Temptation is not sin.
Amen.
Every one of us has been to the diner. You walk in there and you see that case. I like to have this, that, and the other. I like to have all those things. Because I want them. That doesn't mean I partake of them. That doesn't mean I do. And temptation, and I've said this, I've preached this before, most of the time, the devil will tempt you with something that you desire.
You know? But every once in a while, he'll throw a curveball there from time to time and try to tempt you with something you have no desire of. There is not one thing, and I've told you about that with alcohol and things. I thank God I've never drank alcohol. I was never tempted to partake of it. Even in my earlier years and things, when other friends maybe tried to entice me to do it, I wasn't even interested in it. But one time, it was years later on, as I got older, the devil tried to tempt me, why don't you just sit at home one time and drink a little bit to see what happens to you? Because, see, I've seen some men drink, and just like that, they change and they want to fight. I've seen other men, they drink, and they just get as happy as a pig in mud. They're just all happy. And just like that, it changed. The devil says, why don't you just try it at home one time? The devil will throw curveballs. But the temptation is most of the time something that is appealing to you. Something that you desire. Something that is attraction to you. But temptation is not of itself sin. And not every temptation, now understand where I'm going to go with this particular thought, because the enemy is sly with some things. Not every temptation, in a sense, understand where I'm going to stay with my thought here, not every temptation that we yield to is sin either. Okay? Because some things we can, the devil, it's a step process. If I can get you to take a little step this way, and I can get you a little bit encouraged, and sometimes, you know, our world today is full of scams. And I won't go into details of it, but I got caught up in one not too long ago. I didn't have any trouble with it, or they didn't get me for anything or whatever, money or anything like that. But it went on for an hour or so. And then later on, I started thinking about it, and I started Googling it about what was going on about it, and I realized it was a scam. And they try to pull you in and things like that, and things like that. But what they do, they start out very easily. As I read the internet and what it said, and they say sometimes this particular scam that they were trying to involve me in, sometimes they don't come right out and say we need money today or tomorrow or a week. They might take weeks or months to get your friendship, and then they ask for some things. But people just fall into it. The very first time you start in it, there wasn't anything wrong. And that's what the enemy does. He gets you to start to be appealed to something, to look at something, to entertain something. And we need the help of the Spirit of God that would recognize, and I thank God as I had enough understanding to look online and to study that a little bit, and the things that that person was involving with was all online there, and I realized it was a scam. But the devil does that, and I thank God for the Spirit of God. He can correct us, he can check us, and say, hey, you need to leave that alone now before you get too far involved with that. That is the devil's way that we can get trapped. We see the time with Samson and Delilah. You know, I say the temptation can not be sin sometimes. It can try to, I mean, even Samson lied to the point of Delilah. When Delilah started to entice him, and she said, where is your strength at? Tell me where your strength is. And you know the story there, and Delilah was appealing to him, and he said, if you take, I think, 7 dry cords or whatever ropes and you tie me up with it, he goes, I'll lose my strength. You know, he lied to her for one, but she did that, and he was there. He still had his integrity with God, and he broke those cords, and he still had his strength. Well, she went on and continued to do that, and again, the second time he did it, about tying the locks of his hair, 7 locks of his hair, if you do that, then I'll lose my strength. And she did that. And his strength wasn't gone. Now he hadn't lost his strength with God. But the next thing, it was a step process. The next thing, the enemy got to him, and he lost his integrity and strength with God. So we need to be careful, because the enemy can have us play around, get us involved, well, nothing happened, nothing really went bad, whatever, and be temptation of some things. And the devil will do his very best to see how close we can get or how close we can play around with the things of sin without touching them. You know, the old saying is,
When you play with fire. I remember as a real young boy, we were hunting, and at the evening they had a fire pit there and fire, and a little boy, a young boy, I had to play in the fire. And I had a cup, you know, a plastic cup on a stick, and it just melts right around that stick. Played for a while. And I had one cup, I got it to where it melted around that stick, and it's like a little torch, and I held it up with this hand, and a piece of that plastic landed right there on that finger. I still, to this day, have a mark right there where that plastic burned that finger. That hurt. I'll show you, and it don't come off. The plastic don't come off your skin. But you know what? That's what the enemy does. Just play a little bit, entice you, work with it. Before long, you've given in or you've gotten tied up. We don't like temptation. I don't like temptation. You don't like temptation. Now, thank God, I believe in the gates of heaven, that will be one thing we won't have to suffer with is temptation. That'll be gone. I believe once we make heaven a home, temptation will not be available anymore. It won't be an issue there. Thank God he'll deliver us from all that completely. But God, I believe God allows temptation to see if we are worthy of heaven. You know, I was thinking about this the afternoon, this very thought, and pondering it some. And you know, from the day I was born, God knew that whether I would make it to heaven or not. From this very day I stand today, God knows whether I'll make it heaven or not. I don't believe in predestination at all, but God knows all things. And God wants to not only prove himself to me and prove me that I'm worthy to make heaven my home, but also prove ourselves to others. I want you to be a light. I want you to be a candle. I want you to be an example to your family, your friends, the lost world out there. I want you to be something out there to the world. And you know how he's going to do it? He's going to allow you to go through some trials. He's going to allow you to go through some temptations. I'm probably going to do it next week. I wanted to do it this morning, but I didn't bring the phone out with me. As I said, a lot of times I listen to different videos and things. I don't even know who the minister was. But I was with some friends last night, and I don't know how we got even on the subject. I was talking about the Catholic churches or whatever and all that's going on there and how so many of them are closing up. And we talked about, of course, the attendance. You know, one of the reasons that they are closing up because there is not enough people to support the work there and things like that. And I played this short, it was a 45-second video before him. It was a preacher, his comments. And I don't want to say too much because I want to do it for you next week maybe. But I'm trying to think how to tell you without telling you too much of this message. But the minister, in a sense, made a comment about people not having a desire to be in the services. He says, you're not going to enjoy heaven, which is so true. And I made a comment to those ones, and I said, there's no reason for any of you to go to heaven. You're not going to enjoy it. And I was very sincere with it. I said, you have no desire to go to church. You have no desire to read the Word of God. You have no desire for the things of God. You will not enjoy heaven at all. There's nothing there that you'll enjoy. You're not going to go there. You're not going to want to go there. You know, the enemy does his best to tempt us. But we also have to be someone that is a light to a lost and dying world. Every once in a while, we can throw them some things. We can give them some things. We can give them some of the Word of God. And I believe there was a couple of them there. I believe a couple of them have a real sincere heart. And God can start to deal with them and work with them. But God wants to see if we're going to stand faithful in front of a lost and dying world. He's going to allow those temptations to come. God allowing temptations to see if we're worthy. And the thought is, do you believe God's word? No, God wants us to read his word. God wants us to be seasoned with his word. I want you to know my word. I want you to know what the word says. I want you to know the stories, the parables, the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to know about the disciples. I want you to know about the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to know about some things.
Some of the saints went up to Lancaster and went through the temple, walked through there. And I often wonder, how many people have ever really gone through there? They didn't have a clue what any of it is, because they don't read the Bible. God says, I want to know if you believe my word. Because, you know, the enemy will change the word of God. The devil dealt with Eve that time in the Garden of Eden. When the devil dealt with Eve and he said, you know, why don't you take of the tree? And she says, I'm not allowed to take of the tree, or else God says, we'll die. That's what God told him. He says, the day you partake of the tree, you'll die. What the enemy of the enemy say to her? He says, you shall not surely die. He tries to change the wording. He tries to change things. So God says, as gold tried in the fire, I'm going to try us. Levels. Are there levels of temptation? Sometimes the enemy will come at us, the Bible says, will come at us as a roaring lion. You know, we've often said sometimes we like that, but no, we don't like that. We don't like that when he comes at us a roaring lion. I don't like it when he comes at us subtle either. I don't like him when he comes at us calm or sneaky. Or I don't like him the way he comes at us anyway. So, you know, some people, you know, we I don't know how many of you in here like snakes. I don't like snakes. The biggest thing I don't like about snakes is not knowing if they're somewhere where I'm going to be. I don't care if I see a snake, long as I see him and I can go the other way. But if I walk up and there's a snake there, if there's one on a tree or right there laying in the ground and things, and I'm about to step right there and I don't realize it, that's what I don't like. But the devil, he's sneaky. He's sly. Sometimes he's very bold and he comes at us, but sometimes he's very, very sly, as he did with Eve. He's subtle. The Bible says subtle. Making use, and that word subtle, making the use of clever and indirect methods to achieve something. And you know what else the devil does? He uses people to do that. Just what I said to you a little bit ago. People that use a particular device or a way to trap us, to the word I just used, where people try to try to take people's money or whatever. They use ways to try to trap you, to try to deceive you out of something. And that's what the enemy is famous at doing, making use of clever and indirect methods to achieve something. The devil wants to do his very best. Let me get you to look at something that's sinful. Let me get you not only to look at it, but let me get you to consider it, to ponder it, to think about it. Is there some way I can deal with it, maybe be a little bit involved, but be not connected to it? Devil's sly. You know, some of the things I don't understand are all those things, but the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we. In all points. As he was a human, he was tempted. He had to be submitted to his mother and father. He stayed back here in Jerusalem there, and they went back to find him, and he was talking to the doctors and Pharisees and all there. And they, you know, you have to go with us. And he had to submit to that as a young boy, even though he knew much more than they did, but he had to submit to it. He had to submit to his own father. He had to submit to things. The Bible says he was tempted in every point as of we were. Sometimes that's hard to understand. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. I like this just as we read back there a minute ago. But verse 12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I'd imagine every one of us can raise our hand with that. I'm going to read it again since I messed that all up. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. That happens to us. Why is this happening to me, Lord? Why did this come upon me? Why did I have this battle here? In verse 13 there, but rejoice. Some of what we talked about maybe Wednesday night there. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. How many times in life have you asked the Lord why? I think Brother Danny even mentioned that during the preliminaries. Why? Why do I have to go through this? Why does Sister Jerry have a battle with a knee? Why does Sister Ann have pain? Why did Brother David have to have a hernia operation? Why did Brother Walter have a back surgery? Why did I have a kidney? Why do we have these things, Lord? Why do we go through these things? Why do we go through sicknesses? Why do we go through these troubles? And many a time the enemy will challenge us for those things. Well, if you're truly a child of God, you wouldn't battle them. But think it not strange. And the temptations are saying, think it not strange, as though some strange thing has happened. How many times has the devil told you and I you're not saved because you're going through battles? You're in a temptation. You're in a battle. You must not be saved. You're not praying right enough. You're not praying hard enough. You're not reading the Bible. You're not doing what you should be. If you were saved, you wouldn't have those temptations. Let me tell you what. I thank God for the Word of God. Because let me tell you, when we can go back, I've used this also not too long ago and used it in preaching in my own thought. Job went through things that we will never have to face. In just a short little period of time, Job lost his cattle, he lost his family, he lost property, he lost all those things. And then in a little bit of time after that, he lost his own health. And he even came to the place to say also the same thing. He says, I looked before, I've looked forward, I've looked behind me, I've looked to the left, I've looked to the right. I don't know where God is. But one thing I do know is God knows where I am. I'm going to read that for you if I can find it in Job. I think it's around 20-something there. Got to get Nestor. Job 23. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backwards, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself from me. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. So Job says, I've looked everywhere. I'm distraught. I've lost my family. I've lost my cattle. I've lost all the property. I have a wife that has told me, why don't you just curse God and die? I have nobody. I've got friends that are around me here. By this time, later in the chapter, there have been some friends come. They sat with him. They prayed. And then they became to start to question Job. There must have been something wrong in your life. There's not a one of us in there have not probably questioned that ourselves. Go through battles. Go through long trials. Go through long temptations. And we question, Lord, is there something wrong? The devil said, certainly if you were a child of God, you would not be going through this battle. Well, Job was certainly a child of God, and God gave him great credit. But in verse 9, or verse 10, after Job said, I've looked all around, I can't find God, but he knoweth the way that I take, God knows where I am. But the devil will tempt us. The devil, right in the hardship of our battle, he'll tempt us. God's not here. God's left you. If God was here, he'd help you. He wouldn't allow you to go through things. God's not with you. And that's what Job says in verse 8 and 9. I've looked all around. I don't see God nowhere. But in verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. You know, the saints of God, some of the things, as I sang that song tonight, and we go through battles. And that's one of the things, I didn't really look up any of the verses in that song to put with my message, but as we go through battles, saints, we need to look on the bright side of things. There is victory on the other side of battles and trials and temptations. There is a blessing. And Job says, I know the way that I take, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Saints, sometimes we have to put that right back on the enemy. Put it right back on the enemy. Saint, our devil, I haven't sinned. I haven't yielded to temptation. You're a liar. And I'm going to just hold on to God. I'm just going to stay faithful to God. I thank God for over in Ephesians. We'll talk about that a little bit later. In Ephesians, he says, when you've done all to stand, I thank God. God said, just hold still for a while. I thank God I don't have to move. I don't have to make decisions. Lord, I don't know what to do. And I thank God I've been in that time sometimes praying to God. Lord, I don't know what to do. Just sit still for a while. Don't allow the devil to try to push you into making a decision. I mean, that can be applied also in the financial world and every part of our lives. When we don't know which way to go, just hold tight for a little bit. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when I have tried, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. Back over in Peter where we were, verse 12 of chapter 4. He said, beloved, think it not strange. Sometimes we wonder about that. We need the grace of God in verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when the glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. We read this, I believe, Wednesday night, talked a little bit about James chapter 1 and verse 2. God used that verse for me years ago that was a blessing. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Saints, we need to be encouraged. The devil, Brother Davis used to make this comment sometimes. He goes, if you're going along, and the devil will do this one way or another, but if you're going along, no problems, no battles, and he might let you go for a couple weeks. Everything's happy, everything's good, no, I'm not having any troubles, everything's just working out well. And the devil will whisper to you, you've lost your salvation. If you were really saved, I'd be tempting you. That's what Brother Davis used to say sometimes. He goes, if the devil isn't tempting you, you better make sure everything's well. He goes, he may not tempt those that he already has. But if you are in a hard temptation, if it seems like the fiery darts are being flew at you all the time and traveled at you all the time, let me tell you what, he's after you. But God's grace is greater. He says, count it all joy when you fall into many different temptations, when the devil's just battling you. Sometimes we need to allow that to just sink in. Let's go back to our text, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we go back to verse 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I thank God for that promise. I thank God for that promise. And I thank God from time to time we may have to lean on that promise. A lot of temptations are just sometimes small temptations he throws here, throws there. Some things, they can be really difficult. Some things you could think, you know, Jesus had to go in the garden and he was facing something that was unbearable. But God supplied the grace, because he says, let it be some other way. Let's go a different way. Elijah one time, he said, Lord, he goes, they've killed all the prophets and I am alone, and he wished to die. He says, why don't you just kill me, Lord? Lord, I'm at the end. I've got 7,000 reserved, Elijah. I've got things taken care of. Lord, help us to be confident. Amen. Yeah. Help us to be confident. You know, I think of Stephen. When Stephen was preaching to him, and they got upset with him, and they took him out of the city, and they cast him out of the city, and they got ready to heave stones upon him and kill Stephen. They were going to stone Stephen to death. And when they got ready to do that, he looked up into heaven. He goes, behold, I see the Son of God, and he's standing at the right-hand side of the Father. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the verses say, and he fell asleep. I don't think a stone hit him. They might have hit him, but he was already gone. The Lord said, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to take you on home and leave you out of there. I'm not going to allow you to suffer any physical punishment. He says, I will not allow you to be tempted more than you're able.
The devil tempted Jesus up on the mountain. But God protected him. And thank God he will protect us just as he protected Jesus Christ. He said, I will make a way for a new escape that you wouldn't bear. There are the things that we need to do. You know, I thank God for the word. I thank God that he says no temptation has taken you that's common to man, but he'll make a way to escape. But there's some things that we need to do also. We just can't just live life. We have to apply ourselves. Our prayer life has to stay up to date. I think of all the things that is one thing that is essential. Our prayer life. You know, you can take the word away from me. You can take the church away from me. But our prayer life. They can't take that away. No one can take that away. You can pray anywhere, whatever. Our prayer life. To draw closer to God. I thought about it even as this evening as we were praying. And as Sister Ann was praying and I was sitting there, I was wondering. I said, Lord, help us. We have a country that's, and I think, Lord, sometimes, I don't know if you think this way, Lord, what's my one little prayer going to be? And I thought about it tonight. I thought, you know, Lord, I don't know what effect my one little prayer would be or your one little prayer would be. But as she mentioned in the Word of God, the Bible said to pray for the leaders of the land. Lord, help us not to fail. Lord, we need to pray. We need to pray. I need to pray for grace today. I need to pray for strength. I need to pray for things. But over in Ephesians, there's some other things we need to do. The Bible says we need to put on the entire armor of God with prayer. That's what it says. Put on the entire armor of God. And I've said that many times. Sometimes we just like to pick up a piece. You know, how many of you get sometimes... I guess if you've got to go somewhere special, it takes a little bit of involvement to get dressed and get cleaned up, get a shower, get your hair right, shave, and whatever you got to put on, your clothes, your tie, everything. It takes a little bit of preparation. I thank God for the type of job I have. They supply the uniforms. I wear them every day of the week. I have a pair of pants and a shirt, particularly one that but I don't know if any of it. Well, if I had to dress like this every single day, a suit and a tie and be presented and everything, I'd be kind of weary of it after a while. But if we're going to make heaven, if we're going to stand the wiles of the enemy, if we're going to stand the temptation of the enemy, we have to put on the whole armor of God. And he says, I believe it says, on each piece put on with prayer. Help us, Lord, to apply those things, the helmet of salvation. All those things that he had there, I don't remember all of them there, but all the mentions that he has in the prayer there, he says, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, another key factor, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Put on the whole armor. Are we doing that? We can't be, there again, we see the world. You know, we see the world's how they act, how at one time they held a standard for something, and it's far. I mentioned, and some of you probably seen it in recent news and things. You know, the president and the vice president using vulgar language in a speech. Despicable. The highest power people in the world using vulgar language. You know where that starts? That starts from the basics of things. I said to you a few weeks ago, I used to work at Ponderosa. I used to work at fast food places when I was a kid. You know what? They required you to wear a uniform. They required you to wear a certain type of uniform. Today, half of them show up in pajamas and slippers. And that, I know that's pathetic. People don't have respect for themselves. How can they have respect for a company?
And then when it moves on up the chain there, how can they have respect for a nation if they don't have respect for themselves?
Right.
And you know, that affects. That's the way the enemy... Well, the President of the United States doesn't have respect. He degrades himself and degrades everybody else, and then all the way down the chain. Why should I have to live for God and put on the whole armor of God? Well, because you want to have a desire to make heaven your home. That's what God requires. It, even though the devil may tempt you, oh, I'm just going out today. I'll just put on the helmet of salvation, and that's all. I'll just take the word, the Spirit, that's all. God says, no, you need to do it all. To be able to withstand against the wiles of the enemy. We can't put ourselves on the devil's playground. And one way we do that is to lose our respect by not having the whole armor, not reading the word, and not being prayed up. We put ourselves on the devil's playground. When the enemy tempted Eve, he said, just look at the tree. I use that phrase, I use that thought a lot of times because I know exactly how the enemy works. God says there's a tree in the middle of the garden. He says, I don't want you to touch it. I don't want you to eat of it. Leave it alone. I've told you that before. I got a guy at work. He used to have a big red button sitting on his desk. And what is it? Try it or something. Or something. I said something. Well, you know, you just have to push it. You just have to push it. And it says that was easy. You know, something like that. You push it. A big sign that says, do not touch. You have to. You just have to. Well, he told Eve, he says, I don't want you to partake of it. Well, I don't know. We don't have it written in the Bible. But I'm certain that the devil enticed Eve. Why don't you just walk by it? Why don't you just take a look at it? Why don't you get a little closer tomorrow or next week? Let's go over and let's look at the leaves. And before long, she was partaking of the fruit. And that's exactly the subtle of the devil, the wiles of the devil, just enticing you. That looking, that drawing, that was temptation. That wasn't sin, but he was working on getting her to sin. Of course, she sinned. She gave to her husband. He sinned, and they had to leave the garden. We already talked about Samson and Delilah. We talked about what we didn't talk about, but Solomon. God warned him about the women, about building idols and things, any other idols that are of no God. And he did that. And lost his integrity with God. The devil will do his best to lift us up with pride. I can handle that. I can do it. I'm all right. I'm strong. I've been living for the Lord for a long time. I prayed today. I read today. I'll tell you what. We haven't made it yet. And the devil constantly has new ways to try to destroy us. And that is his purpose, and his whole goal in life is to destroy your soul and my soul.
Yes.
To destroy us. Not hinder us, destroy us. And as long as the earth spins, he's going to continue to come up with them. But I thank God. I thank God. Long as we recognize, Lord, I need your help. I need you to protect me. God will protect us. God will watch for us and take care of us. Watch for the snares that the enemy has for us. Help us, Lord.
Yeah.
As it says, the devil tempted Jesus in all points. And he'll do the same with us. He'll tempt us with pride. He'll tempt us to lose our faith. He'll tempt us to be discouraged. In whatever way. But I thank God, God's grace is greater than the enemy's temptations. May the Lord bless you. As we have a song. Like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 179. 179. From the dead, I gave.
What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly life, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, a bitter agony to rescue thee from hell. I borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?